morning. It's... we're going to feedback. Something's sitting high. That's better. Yeah. I'm very attuned to feedback. It's good to see you in worship this morning, especially as we celebrate communion. I'm going to hand over to Marion, who will take us through some of the intimations.
Good morning, everybody. A very warm welcome to our service, especially if you are a newcomer or visitor. We celebrate Holy Communion today. Those joining us on Zoom should please have bread and wine or juice near to hand for the sacrament. Gala, the funds raised. We are pleased to advise that the total raised for church funds during the gala was £215.50. Thanks again to all involved and everyone who bought from the stall. Summer services. During the summer holidays, our Sunday services will continue at the normal time of 11:30 a.m. On the 10th, 17th and 24th of July, the service will be slightly shorter. There will be no live Zoom facility on these days. Weekly intimations will continue to be published on our website and Facebook page and will be emailed to subscribers until the 3rd of July. The final sheet will carry notices relating to the summer holiday period. From the 21st of August, a printed sheet will once again be available each Sunday at church, in addition to the online and email versions resuming. Chirrup's celebration. Save the date. There will be an event to celebrate the completion of our renovation of the interior of the church on Saturday, the 20th of August. The moderator of the General Assembly, the Right Reverend Dr. Ian Greenshields, will attend. Please save the date. And finally, here is a quick look at the order of service.
Only for those who have binoculars. It is good to be here in worship. So let's take a moment of quiet to prepare ourselves in heart and mind. We're going to sing our first hymn, it's a psalm we're going to begin with, which you'll find at hymn number 93 if you're using the hymn book. We're going to sing part of Let Us With a Gladsome Mind.
Yeah.
our prayers today. Oh, I forgot about the offering. Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, we ask your blessing upon our giving. Receive from us these gifts as we acknowledge the far greater gifts that you give to us. Bless all that we give to you and use it to glorify your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. I think it probably just, it's, well, it might be easier if it just went to the side. Thanks, Dot. And as I was about to say, before I forgot the offering, our prayers today are being led by Alistair.
So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do indeed come to you with gladsome minds and also gladsome hearts. We praise you for your kindness, mercy, and faithfulness. On this Father's Day, we think of our own fathers and praise you for them. We recognize that for some that is hard, but we remember that you are all that fathers should be. You are our good, good Father, our perfect Father, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you that because of our faith in Jesus, we are your children and we can call you Abba, Father. You are our Almighty God, a holy God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the same yesterday, today, and forever. May we praise you and glorify you forever. You alone are worthy to receive praise and glory, honour and blessing. May we praise you and glorify you forever. Worthy too is Jesus, the living bread, who came to bring us life in all its fullness. Jesus, who went to the cross for us, that through his death and resurrection we may have eternal life. Jesus, the Lamb who was slain, power, wisdom and strength, honour, glory and blessing to him. May we praise and glorify him forever. May all who seek to serve you honour you. And may all heaven and earth praise and glorify you forever. Come, let us to the Lord our God with contrite hearts return. Our God is gracious, nor will leave the desolate to mourn. Father, please forgive us for the wrongs we have done, for bad temper and angry words, for being greedy and wanting the best for ourselves, for making other people unhappy. Forgive us. Lord, help us to face the truth about ourselves. Help us to hear our words as others hear them. Let us be honest enough to recognize our impatience and conceit. Let us recognize our anger and selfishness. Give us sufficient humility to accept our own weaknesses for what they are. Give each of us the grace, at least in your presence, to say, I was wrong, forgive me. Forgive your church too in this land for at times being so concerned about being relevant to society that it has lost what it stands for. Instead of proclaiming a different way, it can so easily assimilate the world's ways. Father, as we now share in the activity of worship, cleanse our hearts and minds. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and open our lips to show forth your praise. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We give us these words of prayer we now say together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As I began to plan for our communion service today, my first port of call, no surprise, was to look for a Bible reading, something that would relate to our celebration of communion. I've got lots of books with many suggestions, and there are numerous websites that you can go to get information. The most obvious reading would have been 1 Corinthians, where Paul clearly describes what those folk should have been doing to celebrate the Lord's Supper. It's a reading we've used many times. Probably second to that, and another very obvious reading, is where Jesus talks of himself as the bread of life. And it was to that reading that I was drawn. The verses that we will read shortly come from a much longer passage. To get the full story, you would really need to read the whole of chapter 6, which would take quite a while. The story begins with Jesus feeding the 5,000. All that he has is a boy's pack lunch, 5 small loaves and 2 fish. There is a brief interlude then where the disciples set off across the Sea of Galilee, but they're battling against wind and waves, and Jesus walks across the water to them, and they get safely to the other side. And there at the other side, the crowd catch up with Jesus. What Jesus tells them there is that their great desire for him to be around is not because they've seen a miracle. Rather, it is because he gave them bread to eat. Jesus, of course, then uses that moment to teach the difference between earthly bread and heavenly bread. And you're going to hear all about that shortly. As I sat down to think and pray through what I should say, what I was struck with was not just a connection to communion today, but a connection to last Sunday when we were talking about God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where we were talking about the Father as God, the Son as God, the Holy Spirit as God. My choice of reading was to do with Jesus' words about his body and blood, a direct connection with the words that we use within the communion service. But what struck me as I prepared to write was that this is one of those great passages from John where Jesus uses a statement that begins with, I am. If you look up commentaries, they'll talk about the 7 I am statements that are made in John's Gospel. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. What is not obvious to us in English is that linguistically, I am is a nonsense statement. It would not have been used in Greek, the language of the New Testament. Neither does it make sense in Aramaic, the language that Jesus would have spoken, nor does it make sense in Hebrew, the language of the Old Testament. It would really have struck the people that Jesus spoke to. And what would have been so obvious to them was not that Jesus was using bad grammar, but one of the great passages from the book of Exodus. Early in Exodus, Moses is having a conversation with God, well, more or less an argument with God. He doesn't want to do what God is asking him to do. And in the midst of that argument, he says, but who am I going to say sent me? In other words, what's your name? And God replies, I am who I am. This is the name of God. So in the passage that we're about to read, and in those other I am statements, Jesus is not offering something from God. He is God in offering of himself. And that, of course, is very obvious in the passage that we're about to read, where Jesus talks of himself as the bread of life. Seamus is now going to read for us from John chapter 6.
We read this morning from John chapter 6. We read from verse 48 to verse 60 and from verse 66 to 69. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply amongst themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. May God bless to us this reading of his holy word. Amen.
We sing now hymn number 562, Through the Love of God, Our Saviour.
Thank you.
in this country, in our society, I suspect that my generation is the last for whom meals followed a weekly pattern and whose diet was regulated by seasonal availability. My post-war generation were regarded as very fortunate to have this regulated pattern of eating. We frequently heard of the effects of rationing and what it was to live through wartime. That was from my parents. And equally from my grandparents were added the experiences of living through the 20s and 30s, times when it was very hard for a great number of people. And so my grandparents told me of times when there was nothing, when the cupboard was bare. I have no memory of going without regular meals, but I do remember that food waste was a very definite no. I ate things like bread and cheese with the mouldy bit trimmed off. It was common practice to fish out the floaters on your tea when the milk hadn't quite gone off. And very definitely, what was put in front of me at the meal table was to be eaten. And this was not, as some think, eat or go hungry. It was, you'll sit there until you finish it. The society of which we are now part is very different. For the vast majority of folk, there is almost endless choice. Perhaps this is best illustrated by our response when it's not quite like that. 2 years ago, in the press, the stories were of no pasta on the shelves, being limited to one or two packets of things. We were absolutely shocked. Disaster. It was famine. Or so it seemed. And now, as the cost of living rises, and we are struggling with the idea that a growing number of people in this country are having to make difficult choices, we are offended, and rightly so, that in a country as wealthy as ours, that some people are having to make the choice between eat or heat, and a growing number of people are depending upon food banks. There are most definitely inequalities in our society. That said, for most of us, we have much more than previous generations. Our experience of life makes it difficult for us to comprehend how those listening to Jesus' words would have understood the words that he had. For the people listening to Jesus, bread is a key part of their staple diet. These were people who knew what hunger was. They would have had times when food was not plentiful, when their next meal was not guaranteed. They knew hunger and they would have feared famine. In the Lord's Prayer, which we said just a moment or two ago, we say, give us this day our daily bread. We should realize that for most peoples in the world today, and certainly for almost all peoples of the past, this was a life and death request of God. Life was not guaranteed. This was a real plea. I sometimes wonder if I say this line of the Lord's Prayer thoughtlessly. Well, I sometimes wonder if I say an awful lot of the prayer thoughtlessly, because I can rattle it off. But do I say, give us this day our daily bread, without any real thought, because I have plenty. When Jesus challenges the crowd not to seek earthly bread, here today and gone tomorrow, but lasting bread, they immediately think of God's provision. And the big story for them is that story from Exodus. Through Moses, God gave his people manna in the desert. This isn't just a story. It's actually part of their identity. The story of the Exodus is who they are as the Hebrew people. This was the bread of heaven. And so it is from that statement that Jesus tells the people that it's not through Moses, but it's from God that the true bread from heaven comes. Manna was temporary. The true bread is eternal. And so we come to that great statement where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. As a theological statement, as a spiritual truth, we could delve into this from an intellectual perspective. There are layer upon layer of meaning in that statement of Jesus. There are probably hundreds of sermons that could be preached, and if you are so minded, you could write a significant number of theological essays on the words that are presented. And it strikes me that this is spiritualizing the physical. And as I read this passage, it seemed to me that Jesus was doing exactly the opposite. Now, I know this is not good English, and one of my folk down the road in Limekilns asked if the word was going to be added to the dictionary underneath first used by Norman on Sunday the 19th and so on. We might say that Jesus physicalizes the spiritual. Not good English, but there we go. What Jesus goes on to say is actually deeply offensive and utterly disgusting. The people would have been shocked. Unless ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, people would have been utterly horrified. And Jesus means to shock them. This is no accident. And it's no wonder that many said after this is hard teaching. And they turned away from following Jesus. As I sat at my desk, I was just about to write that, of course, we understand better because we know the Easter story. We celebrate communion. We understand better what Jesus means. And I suddenly thought, do we? Do I understand better? Am I making the mistake of trying to spiritualize that which is a physical reality? The reality of what we do and what we receive at the Lord's table is about costly love. It's about a broken body and lifeblood poured out. It is hard teaching. It's definitely hard teaching. It's not easy. It hits you between the eyes. If all we seek is a feel-good factor from our faith, Jesus is the most uncomfortable and challenging of people. He does not allow that. But if we are looking for something that is just beyond this time, beyond this place, beyond us, in Peter's words, you've got the words of eternal life. You're the Holy One of God. There is always a great temptation to be of the world, to try and fit our faith into a worldly pattern. And that's why I chose that particular quotation, which you see on screen at the moment. And you know, the truth is, I would like to be cool, relevant, and fun. I'm not sure I've ever been cool, relevant, and fun. But that's not what Jesus calls us to be. Jesus calls us as his disciples, as his church, to be bread, light, and life to a hungry, dark, and dying world. We are to be the physical embodiment of Jesus to the world around us. Our call is to love the world as much as God does in sending Jesus as the bread of life. We're not left to our own resources. We have the Holy Spirit with us. And at our Lord's table, the bread and the wine is there to sustain us. But it's for purpose. And so much as I would love to be the cool minister, to be relevant in a worldly sense and to be seen as a bit of fun, I know that there is something far deeper and more difficult, because Jesus is calling us to be bread, to be light, and to be life. Because the world out there is hungry, dark, and dying. And we have what is real food. We have what is eternal light. We have what is life in all its fullness. So the bread of life is not to be contained in here. It's to be taken out there. Amen. And thinking about the world, we turn to our prayers for the world. Alistair.
Let us once more come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we pray for this hungry, dark, and dying world. We think of the conflict in Ukraine and those who are desperately short of food and drinking water. We pray for the restoration of peace and security to this troubled region. As two of the largest exporters of wheat, oil and fertiliser, the conflict is having a knock-on effect around the world. We pray for your protection upon Ukrainian farmers who risk their lives attempting to plough their fields because they have been planted with landmines by the Russian forces. Food supplies are diminished in many African, Asian and Middle Eastern countries, poorer regions that have long suffered food insecurity, famine and rising prices. And we pray, Lord, that you will provide for these needy people. We pray about children and the internet. Please comfort and heal the thousands of nameless children who suffer wicked abuse and exploitation in order to produce perverted online material. Those whose childhoods have been stolen by websites that foster radicalisation, grooming by sexual predators, self-harm, pornography and gambling. Lord, please restore young people whose lives have been blighted by the effects of pornography. Restore their mental health and heal regrets and fears. We especially pray for girls who experience disrespect, harassment and harm. Father, may many be helped by wise online safety advice and practical support offered by organisations working with children, young people, parents and other concerned adults. Lord, may those who profit from this evil £11 billion a year trade be confronted by your righteous anger. We pray for miracles of repentance, leading many to make amends. We also pray that the government's pledge to include age verification checks to prevent online harm to children will result in strong, effective legislation. And we pray for adults and children to increasingly reject negative and damaging content and seek what is noble, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Our God and Father, we thank you that you have knit together for yourself a people from every nation, tribe, people, and language. It is a testimony to your grace and goodness that salvation has been extended to a countless multitude of people from every part of the world. And we are all one in Christ Jesus. And so we pray today for the suffering church. We ask you to bring hope, O Lord, to your suffering people. In their anguish and pain, be their hope. Bring hope, O Lord, to your persecuted people. In their despair, be their hope. Bring hope, O Lord, to your needy people. In their hunger and thirst, be their hope. Bring hope, O Lord, to your dying people. In the hour of their death, be their hope. In the name of Jesus, our hope. Amen.
As we prepare now to meet at our Lord's table, my Jesus, my Saviour, Lord, there is none like you. Hymn number 531.
Bye.
This is the Lord's table. Can I remind you how we served communion? We changed it a bit as we went through the days of lockdown and such like. The bread will be distributed, and then I'll say the appropriate words and we all eat together, and then the wine will be distributed and you wait for the appropriate words and then we all drink together, which I actually like because it feels that we are all eating and drinking at the Lord's table together, and it is something that we do as the church, not just as individuals. So here we are at this table, at the invitation of Jesus himself. And so this table is open to all who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to the table, not because you must, but because you may. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness gives you the right, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and want to love him more. Come because Jesus loved you and gave himself for you. Come, meet the risen Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we follow the example of our Lord in word and action. And as he gave thanks before the meal, let us also remember and thank God for his mercies to us. Let us pray. Almighty God, it is right that we give you thanks and praise. You created all things in heaven and on earth. You are the giver of life. You created humanity in your own image. You gave us stewardship of the earth. When we and all humanity had fallen, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to reveal your love and to save us from sin and death. Gracious God, hear we remember the death of your Son. We proclaim his resurrection and ascension. We look with expectation for his coming again. We are at this table by invitation. Send your Holy Spirit upon us. Bless the bread and the wine. Bless we who meet here to eat and drink, so that we may share the life of Christ our Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth. Bring in your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Bring us to that place where we know the unity of Christ, and in this bread and wine, a foretaste of eternal joy. And to you, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all praise and glory, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. We do this in obedience to Christ's example and appointment. On the night of his betrayal, he took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, give us your peace. We receive the bread. Take this and eat it. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of him. This cup is the new covenant sealed in Christ's blood, which was shed that the sins of many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all of you. Gracious God, we thank you for all that we have received here at our Lord's table. We have received the bread of life. We have received the cup of promise. And in this place, united in worship with your people on earth and your people in heaven, grant that strengthened by this fellowship and by your Holy Spirit, we may continue Jesus' work in the world, to go out in his name, to be bread, light, and life, to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And now our closing praise, hymn number 396, And Can It Be That I Should Gain? That's hymn 396.
Thank you.
to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.